Hello and welcome back to the Google Workspace Update podcast from Strawberry 7. My name is Adam, and normally I'd be joined by my co-host Adam, but as last week, we've got a bit of a scheduling problem, I'm afraid, so it's just going to be me again, so sorry about that. Hopefully Adam will be back next week. This podcast is available in audio format and also video format from wherever you cast your pods or on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Strawberry7. Coming up on the show today, we've got 9 updates for you. We've got updates to Connected Sheets, Google Drive again, Google Sheets, Google Chat, Workspace Account, that's a bit of a new one, Google Sheets, Google Meet, and Admin, so a bit of a packed show. As always, there is a link in the podcast or the video description to the document that we read from. This contains some more detailed information, relevant links, some lovely pictures, and even some moving graphics showing you these features in action. So let's get to it, and on with the show. First up, we've got an update to Connected Sheets, further extending long-running queries within Connected Sheets. Last year, Google announced a timeout from 5 minutes to 10 minutes for BigQuery and Looker. Now the timeout has been increased to 20 to 30 minutes, and starting this week, Connected Sheet users can view the status of a query and easily cancel it on Google Sheets. In addition to the ability to analyze data from queries that scan even larger data sets in Sheets, Google hopes these increased user controls give you even more oversight, especially in cases where queries might be taking a long while to complete. The rollout on this is rapid and scheduled domain releases is right now, and this is going to be available to Google Workspace customers, Google Workspace individual subscribers and users with a personal Google account. Adam's also added some links in here to learn more about Connected Sheets for Looker and analyzing data with BigQuery. Next up, we've got an update to Google Drive. So enhancing search within the Google Drive app. Google is improving Google Drive's search experience on iOS, and Android is coming soon. Interesting that they've done iOS first. And they're going to do that by simplifying how you access query filters by introducing filter categories that are accessible directly below the search bar and include filters for file type, owner and last modified, showing you the relevant query filters as you type your query, enabling you to easily select a filter and saving you the time of effort of typing out the full search, adding the option to further refine your search after reaching the search results page. So this is quite nice. They kind of did this on the web a while ago, and it's nice that they've put this on mobile devices as well on the app. These updates are available now to Google Workspace customers, Google Workspace individual subscribers and users with a personal Google account, but using an iOS device, of course. Google will provide an update when this is available for Android devices, and Adam's added a link in here to learn more about finding files in Google Drive. There is also a very nice graphic in here. It's not a moving graphic, but static graphic that shows sort of how to select these filters and what it looks like when you've done the search and you can apply the filters afterwards. Next up, another update to Google Drive. Playback improvements to videos uploaded on Google Drive. Google is enabling the generation and playback of dynamic adaptive streaming over HTTP, or Dash for short, video transcodes for all new videos uploaded to Google Drive. Dash transcodes provides adaptive bitrate playback, which allows users to receive higher or lower resolution playback based on aspects like their local network quality. As a result of this change, you'll notice improvements in join time. That's the time it takes from clicking play to actually starting playback, and a reduction in rebuffering both in normal playback as well as during playback at higher speeds. Whilst this feature applies to all new video uploads to Google Drive, existing videos in Drive will be updated by the end of the year. That's quite cool. So this is rolling out to rapid release and scheduled release domains now, and is going to be available to Google Workspace customers, Google Workspace individual subscribers, and users with a personal Google account. Next up, we've got an update to Google Sheets. So smooth scrolling in Google Sheets now available on desktop. Google is excited to announce a highly requested feature that improves control over your scrolling experience in Google Sheets. With smooth scrolling, you can scroll to a specific part of a row or column and stop wherever you like within the spreadsheet. This update works with all sheet features such as frozen rows, hidden columns, charts, buttons, comments, or right to left layouts, and when you use scroll bars instead of a mouse or trackpad. There is a nice graphic in here showing how this works as well, but it's quite simple. It's just somebody kind of scrolling around. I can't actually say how it's different to what it looked like before personally, but maybe I've just never had a sheet big enough to scroll around a lot. But it does look very nice that it's nice and smooth, and obviously Google have improved that somehow, so that's great. Next up, we've got an update to Google Chat, new enhancements in the space management tool for admins. Add multiple members or groups, review settings and details. Google is introducing several updates for the space management tool in the admin console, including an improved user interface and additional management capabilities. Google has introduced several more ways to manage a single space, including adding multiple members and groups to a space at once, review detailed space settings, and review invited members. Again, there's a nice sort of static graphic in here showing you what that looks like. Just to be clear as well, the graphic shows this all in the admin console as well. So this is kind of going into the admin console, looking at each space, looking at the members, and where those members are, and kind of adjusting things there. It also says admins can now see detailed information regarding space settings, including those defined by space managers, who can access the space, post new messages, and more. So there's a lot of information in there about that in the graphic. Spaces in Google Chat are an essential part of collaboration and community building across the organization of all sizes. As such, it's important for admins to easily view and manage their space and provide a productive, safe environment. Yep, okay. This update makes it easier for admins to execute space management tasks. Yep, anything that improves admin control is a win for us. Finally, you'll also notice that Google has aligned the look and feel of the interface and workflows for individual space management across Google Chat and the web and the admin console for a more consistent experience. That's quite nice as well, making it a bit more consistent across both of those areas. Getting started, so there is an important note here. Both super admins and delegated admins must have Google Chat turned on for their account in the Google Chat service settings, and you can visit the Help Center to learn more about that. Now, that's quite interesting because if you have a cloud identity license, you don't have access to Google services such as Google Chat and things like that. So for anybody who's not familiar, cloud identity license is a free license that you can apply to an admin account. So let's say you've got a Google Workspace system and you've got, I don't know, 10 employees and you've got 10 business standard licenses, and you want to, and that those are all assigned to individuals, and you want to create an admin account. You can use a cloud identity license to create an admin account, which is just for going into the admin console and administering things. But part of the deal is you get a free license, yes, but you don't have that account doesn't have access to any services. So it can't use Gmail, it can't use chat, it can't use docs, slides, etc. Now, the thing is, if you have to have the Google Chat service setting turned on, I don't know quite how you would do that on a cloud identity license. So I'm not too sure whether you'd be able to use it under that type of license, just to let you know if you are using cloud identity. For the super admins, the space management tool is available by default and can be accessed in the admin console by going to Apps, Google Workspace, Google Chat, Manage Spaces. Adam's added some links in here as well for you to learn more about that. The delegated admins, you can access the space management tool, and it's just saying they must also have Manage Chat and Spaces conversation turned on, I guess. It doesn't say that here, but it just ends at conversation on this update. But there is a link in there that Adam's added to find out more about that. The rollout pace of this is rapid and scheduled release domains. There's a gradual rollout, so up to 15 days feature visibility, and that's beginning on March 4th, 2024. And this is going to be available for all Google Workspace customers who are using Google Chat. Next up, we've got Google Workspace account. So migrate email data from one Google Workspace account to another, available in open beta. Beginning today, a new data migration experience is available. You can migrate your users' email data from one Google Workspace account to another in a more reliable and efficient manner. Good, it's well overdue, Google. You can configure your data migration for up to 100 users at a time, and also run Delta migrations, which smartly brings over any newly generated data from the source without duplicating previously migrated content. Okay, that's useful. This feature is available in open beta, which means admins can use it without enrolling in a specific beta program. There's a bit of additional details here as well. You can find more information in the Help Center, and Adam's added a link to more information on that about migrating. So for anybody who's used the Google migration tool, you'll know that it's pretty bad. We don't use it here for when we're migrating customers. We use a specific migration tool, and it doesn't work very reliably. It's not very good. It doesn't give you much data about how much data has been moved over, how long it's got to go. It's very slow. It's got caps on it. It can only move a certain amount of messages per day. It's like, I don't know how many it is, 1,000 messages a day or 5,000 a day or something like that. So it takes ages. One of the worst parts about it, in my opinion, which they haven't addressed in this data migration tool, but something that would be nice to see, is what we often get requests to do is a employee leaves and the owner of the company, let's say, or the managing director will say, okay, can you port all of their email over to my account? Now, we can do that, but the problem is it just dumps it in their inbox. So what we then have to do is kind of run a filter afterwards to filter out the messages that are just to the other person and sort of put them in a specific folder or label. It gets a bit complicated and we need access to the owner's account. It can sort of, which with two-factor authentication gets really difficult. So it's quite a laborious process if you use the Google migration tool. The specific migration tools that we use allow us to sort of put it in a specific folder, and it would be nice to see Google do that with this migration tool, that when the email is taken over, you can actually specify a label or, you know, a sort of folder that it's going to go into, so that it isn't just dumped into the user's inbox because it all gets mixed up. But it is good that they've sort of put in an ability so that it avoids duplication of migrated content. So that's good at least. Getting started for this, admins can visit Help Center to learn more. You can access the new Google migration tool via a link that Adam's put in here. And the existing DMS app, which I think is the data migration service, which is the old one, is still available on the admin console via the same link as before, which again, Adam's added in here as well. For the end users, there's no end user action, obviously, because this is an admin update. And the rollout pace is it's available now in open beta. This is going to be available for Google Workspace Business Starter, Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Fundamentals, Education Standard, Teaching and Learning Upgrade, Education Plus, Essentials Starter, Essentials, Enterprise Essentials, and Enterprise Essentials Plus and Nonprofit Customers. My goodness, Google, please sort out your naming convention with your Google Workspace editions. Okay, next up, we've got Google Sheets. Set up a drop-down chip more easily in Google Sheets. In 2022, Google announced the ability to create drop-down chips in Google Sheets. Very cool feature. This custom formatting smart canvas feature enables you to easily indicate statuses of various products or milestones within your spreadsheet. Google is building upon this by introducing preset drop-downs. Instead of manually creating values for your drop-downs, you can insert preset drop-down chips that are configured for common use cases, like priority or review status. After inserting a preset drop-down, you can use the data validation slide bar to easily adjust the options or add styles. Wow, really, really cool feature like this. So just to let you know how this works, there's a moving graphic showing this, but all that's happening is somebody's gone into a Google Sheet, they've put @D, and then one of the sort of elements that's come up, or one of the options, is drop-downs. When they click on that, they then get preset drop-downs that they can select from, including project status, priority, yes, no, things like that. So just saves you a little bit of time when you're doing these things in Sheets. Really, really nice. Getting started for this, admins, there's no admin control. End users, you can do this by doing @ and drop-down, exactly as I've just said, and there's a link there to learn more about that. The rollout pace here, gradual rollouts up to 15 days feature visibility, and that's for both rapid and scheduled release. Rapid is starting on the 5th of March and scheduled is the 19th of March. Availability, this is available to all Google Workspace customers, Google Workspace individual subscribers and users with a personal Google account. Okay, next up is Google Meet. Google Meet co-host support added for client-side encrypted meetings. Client-side encrypted meetings are now getting support for using co-host feature. This means that an organizer can plan and book client-side encrypted video meetings on behalf of other users and assign those as co-hosts to allow them to join an open the meetings independently from the organiser. Client-side encrypted meetings differ from point-to-point encrypted meetings in the way they always require a host to join first. This task can now be delegated and shared between multiple users without the organiser ever joining the call. So this is really, really handy if you've got a meeting that you're setting up for somebody, you're not too sure whether they're going to be able to join, or it's not essential that they join, but you need to set it up under their account for whatever reason, like, for example, using the client-side encrypted element, then you can do this and then it's not a necessity that they join the call. So this is really nice. There's a little static graphic in here. Don't know quite what use the static graphic actually is. It's sort of showing you the area of where to add co-hosts, but I would have liked to have seen a moving graphic in here to show you how to actually get into this area. Unfortunately, under the getting started, it's not too much help either. There's, for both the admins and the end users, there's just links to learn more. So do check out those links if you're interested in learning the process, or have a look at that graphic. It might make a little bit more sense to you guys than it does to me. Rollout pace, there's rapid and scheduled release domains. There's a gradual rollout, it's up to 15 days feature visibility. That's beginning on March the 6th, and it will be completed by March the 13th. This feature is only available on the web, as planning meetings with co-hosts can only be done on a computer. So maybe we'll see an update to bring that to mobile devices in the future. Hopefully we will. Availability, this is available to Google Workspace Enterprise Plus, Education Plus, and Education Standard customers. So as before with this client-side encryption, we've seen it for business right at the top end with Enterprise Plus, and a little bit more flexibility with Education, where they're including Education Plus, but also Education Standard in there as well, which is nice because Education clients do have a requirement to meet certain regulations. I should think particularly in America with the cyber security concerns that they've got over in America in the education system there. Thankfully, we haven't had it so bad here in the UK. So it's nice to see that it's on Education Standard as well. Okay, finally from us, we have an admin update. User enrollment for managed iOS devices is now generally available. In late 2023, Google introduced user enrollment in beta, an additional option for iOS mobile management. User enrollment separates work and personal data on iOS devices, giving admins control over workspace data on the device while users retain privacy over their personal data. So really, really nice, you know, really useful in these situations where you're giving out iOS devices to your users and they want to sort of use an element of personal sort of data on there or personal device on there, as people inevitably do, even with work phones usually. So good to have that sort of separation there. Beginning today, user enrollment is now generally available. There's more information on a couple of links Adam's added in as well. To get started with this, the admins can use the Help Center to learn more. There's a link in there that Adam's added. For the end users, the user enrollment process starts when a user signs into an app for the first time or re-signs into an app. They'll be prompted to begin downloading a configuration profile, which will open in an internet browser with more instructions and information. Once the profile has been downloaded, the user will be directed to their device settings to complete user enrollment. So it's quite handy because there's some really nice graphics in here showing how that works and how that's laid out and what sort of things they'll see when they're signing in and signing in with their Google credentials and things like that. Not obviously, it goes without saying that user enrollment of these devices is going to give the admin a lot of control over these devices, so very nice to see. The rollout pace here, rapid and scheduled release domains, extended rollout, so that's potentially longer than 15 days, started on March 7th, 2024, with anticipated completion by the end of the month. And availability is available to Google Workspace Enterprise Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Essentials Plus, Frontline Standard, Frontline Starter, Business Plus, Cloud Identity Premium, Education Standard, Education Plus, and non-profit customers. So that is it. That's everything you need to know about all the latest updates happening in the world of Google Workspace. Remember that this podcast is available in audio format from wherever you cast your pods, and also in video format on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/strawberry7. Hopefully, Adam will be joining me and you guys next week, and next Monday, when we'll be back with more updates. But for now, goodbye.